This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:06 on the evening edition, and we're now looking at plans to solve Kelantan's water crisis. So this comes as Environment and Water Minister Dato' Tuan Ibrahim Tuan Man seeks 7 billion ringgit from the federal government to resolve it. Funding would come from the 12th Malaysia Plan and will focus on three areas, namely flood mitigation, water pipe replacements, and plant upgrades and integrated sewage projects.
So the move is significant because it's the federal government's first attempt to step in and fix the issue. For years, many Kelantanese have lacked constant access to clean water, and the issue has been worsened by water pollution, which stems from indiscriminate logging in the state. With the funds, though, Tuan Ibrahim is confident 95% of the issue will be resolved by 2030 and that it will be completely solved in 30 to 40 years.
But his remarks have faced backlash. Parti Bumiputra Perkasa, Malaysia President and Kelantan native Dato' Ibrahim Ali, says 30 years is too long. He noted that the past-led state government has ignored the issue for the past 30 years and that voters should perhaps consider voting them out.
I would agree that 30 years is definitely too long. I've actually visited an Orang Asli community in Guamusang in Kelantan, where one of the issues they're facing is logging due to durian plantation there. So I've seen, you know, the sort of tetarik colored water, as Dato' Ibrahim Ali says, described. Basically, they told me that if the logging stopped completely, next week, for instance, then at least their water problems would be solved in a few months' time, right? Because it's not just access to, a constant access to water. It's access to clean water, and not all communities, face the same issue in terms of accessibility.
Yeah, so we're going to dig deep into, you know, why Kelantan is still facing this problem together later with Dato' Abdul Kadir Mohamuddin, President of the Malaysian Water Association. If you have any questions, you can send them our way, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
It is 7:15 on the evening edition. You're with Kelvin and Hezril, and we're looking at Kelantan's water crisis. Environment and Water Minister Dato' Tuan Ibrahim Tuan Man is asking for 7 billion ringgit from the federal government to fix the water crisis there. So we're now going to find out, you know, what's happening in Kelantan exactly. We're crossing over to Dato' Abdul Kadir Mohamuddin, President of the Malaysian Water Association. Dato', thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Yeah, thank you.
Could you give us a background behind Kelantan's water issues?
Actually, this Kelantan water issues, if I pull back to the old days, Kelantan water development had met with very unfortunate development budget cuts start from the beginning of 8th Malaysia Plan due to the politics at the state level, with a change from the state government under the administration which carried on till today. So the state went through different phases of budget trim down, including separate funding policy that were accorded to states aligned with the federal government party of the day. So before water reform, all development budget for water were in form of federal government interest free loan. For the case of Kelantan, the loans came with an interest. This was discontinued after a period of time. Hence, from budget provision alone, Kelantan were behind compared with other states. That's on the political scenario on the budget side. In terms of the water source, Kelantan is the only state that utilized quite a lot from groundwater. If you look, they started off back in 1935 using the groundwater. And back in 1981, about 36 MLD, the megaliter per day, was abstracted from the groundwater. And it increased to 1989, about 65 MLD. And if you look at the historical records, in between 1986 to year 2000, there's no groundwater development. And that leads to an acute shortage of water. And you can see the drop in 1990, where the drop was 57 MLD. That is the facts. But if you look at 1993 historical record, the absorption increased to 66 mld, and that is the evidence of overpumping. So when you talk about overpumping of groundwater, that can give a serious problem to Kelantan underground water. So Kelantan is not short of water. They have a lot of surface water. And as of now, they took about 42% from groundwater to be used for water supply. And the demand is still growing. If you look at the demand, until year 2050, it was projected that they need about 1.6 billion meter cube per year. And that is quite a concern because they need a lot of water. And currently, if you look at what's happening, they are experiencing quite an aging asset. So that's a bit of a background of Kelantan Water that led to the crisis what we have today in terms of the asset condition.
Right.
And just very briefly, when you say use of groundwater, I'm sure there are associated risks with using that, right? I understand, if I'm not mistaken, Jakarta has been through problems with sinking because they've been overusing groundwater.
Exactly. Because, see, the problem with our society, we don't have a proper monitoring of groundwater extraction. If you extract more than what you can replenish, then you can have this soil erosion, you can have a lot of sinkhole here and there. So in terms of Jakarta, you can see it's sinking. And Singapore, so you can see seriousness of flooding incidents that shows that it's sinking. And that's why Jakarta, they want to change their capital to operation to Kalimantan. Where Kelantan is concerned, there's no evidence yet of sinking. But it may be one day it will happen if you start drawing off more than what you can replenish. Yeah, that is what we call uncontrolled. If you look at Kelantan scenario, the confidence of using water is also not that great because you have the main pipe in front of the house, but people still use groundwater, well water. No? So these are the areas of concern that the confidence level needs to be built up for people to use the tap water.
Right, and Environment and Water Minister Dato' Tuan Ibrahim Tuan Man says that he expects 30 to 40 years for the whole water issue in Kelantan to be resolved. Why the long timeline?
Well, we believe the problems is back to the aging asset. The connection of clean water is too old and too new, expanding a population settlement, and cost of connection to pipe water. Many urban and suburban areas are still taking water from the ground, as I said just now, using their own tube well and open well system. So several water projects planned in 1980s were shelved, like the Bakalan Air Kelantan Utara, in short, Baku. That is a project that was meant to meet rising water demand for the next 20 years from 1990 onwards. And we believe if the projects are done by conventional way, it will take a fairly longer time period. So you see, 20 to 30 years is looking at conventional period. Before I go to the period, let's look about the asset itself. You see, Kelantan have about nearly 6,600 kilometers of pipes and 60% AC pipes. And it costs more than $1 billion to replace all. And you could imagine to replace all these pipes in an urban area. It is a challenge. And you look at the the meter, 5% of meter of 12,000 numbers are more than 7 years. And the NNW relates to the old pipes is about 49%. And they are the second highest based on 2018 audited figure. They are the second highest in Malaysia, in financial Malaysia, 49% of NNW. So if you look at 30 to 40 years, I would say that is an estimate based on a conventional method. If they were to expedite this, they could have called for a scheme like PFI or PPP or PDP, then you can get the private sector involved. Then it can be expedited, but with condition that it must be very transparent, no price being bloated out, and must be a proper, what they call, transparency in awarding such contract, so that it will benefit the state and the rakyat.
When you say expedited, how much of a reduction of time are we going to see?
You see, back my experience in IWK, when I was there, we estimated you need about 52 billion in the next 30 years to keep all our, to get our sewer system at par with the developed countries. That involves a lot of works, rationalization, connection, or decommissioning of plant. You eradicate all the septic tank connected to the central system and a lot of upgrading works. And the 52 billion in within 30 years. And this is only, what, 7 billion for 30 to 30, 40 years. I would say if you really go serious about it, it can be reduced to maybe half of it in 20 years or less. Again, it depends on the procurement system that you do, and then the methods of how you select the pipes to choose the right pipe, and then the methods in terms of using the right technology in upgrading the plants. Because what the minister was saying, there are a lot of works here. It doesn't only involve water supply, it involves flood mitigation. He mentioned rightfully, because Kelantan have a lot of water, most of the time it rains, it floods, and the water goes into the sea. So he's thinking about building dams. At the moment, there's no dams. We have small dams, but I wouldn't say that it's a dam in Kelantan. So Kelantan basically no dams. So he's thinking of building up 4 new dams. And the plant replacement is also another area. And the other part that he's talking about holistically, about integration of water and sewerage, that's the way forward for Malaysia, to have one single operator per state. So in terms of timing, you got to look. If you look at conventional ways, definitely you will not go. If you look at the involvement of private party, you will gain in terms of expediting the work, and also you will gain the cost in terms of very competitive way of doing things on the current mode of funding. So there's just mere estimate. It can be less than that.
Right. And in our past interviews, you mentioned that water shortage is a genuine concern in the country in general in the coming years. And you talked about the importance of addressing environmental pollution and curbing water wastage. How are these elements included in efforts to resolve our national water issue?
I think the key word here, again, back to enforcement. We have the law. We have a lot of law. We have a lot of policy, but we don't have a strong enforcement. And what you put, you still violate. You must protect the water catchment. No point of building a dams, and you go for logging, mining, and a lot of illegal activities in the water catchment. That leads to no water in the dam. That's why, if you look like Johor, example, they built this Lingu Dam, there's no water, they put a barrage. So as to keep the water level high, and the water treatment operators can abstract. So we really need to be very serious in protecting our water catchment area. When I say serious, I mean stringent rules, no activities, and protect a clear water. We used to swim in the river. We used to drink from the river directly. That is, when I say swim and drink, that's class one. So the water operator now is taking class two for drinking, so that it can be treated properly. So the next step is looking at prevention of pollution to the rivers. This is another area. We need the public to become the eyes and ears of the government. We need to eradicate all this riverbank, illegal activities or squatters. That need to be away. Otherwise, you will not solve. So to me, to protect this on a long-term basis is to protect water catchment and prevent pollution. So you must have a proper guideline. And now the common term called is SOP for all the industrial to throw their waste into a proper system. If you look at some of the modern countries, the non-metal industry, you can always trade it to a minimal level and then convert it into the sewage system. And there goes their system of water recycling. You see, these are the areas that on the long term that the government should do. And then because the industry benefit, like tourism and things like that, and industry as well, they all pollute in one way or the other. Being it minimum or maximum, that doesn't matter. But everyone give a load to the river. And that loading need to be paid for the government or for the authorities to use that money back to clean up the rivers. And these are some of the areas the environmental tax need to be enforced, introduced, so that the industry or the public at large become a responsible citizen to take care of the rivers.
Right, and Dato, we have about a minute left, and just hopping off that last point, those last points that you made, does the government perhaps, you know, view the issue of water security holistically, or do they still view them, you know, view other issues that affect our water supply as separate matters? This includes the environment, this includes, you know, our economic activities as well.
I would say now it was not looked at seriously. So now the government has now been smart. They put all under one roof. It would be easier. When I say under one roof, now you got the land, you got the Department of Environment under one ministry. So it's a bit easier to manage, and then you can have a proper control in terms of policy, regulation, and the act. So I would say they should look at it holistically. It can be solved, but we need the state to be involved. Because the state, if you look at some of the model of water authority, river authority like RUAS, that is a good model to be followed by all states. And then you can safeguard the river, per se, minimize any duplication of work or duplication of authority. So that is the way forward, that we can protect our river environment and for the sake of the future generation.
Dato, thank you so much for those insights.
Okay. Thank you.
That was Dato' Abdul Kadir Mohamed Din, President of the Malaysian Water Association, giving us some background into Kelantan's current water crisis. If you have any thoughts, you can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio, especially if you have, you know, direct experience with the water quality in Kelantan. We'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, we do have the 7:30 news coming up. It's the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.